Well, thank the Lord tonight for His salvation to you and His salvation to me. And it's the same salvation. And it's something we all can enjoy together, and we can enjoy it individually. We can enjoy it on this earth, and we can enjoy it in heaven. Thinking about some thoughts tonight and share those with you, Lord willing. Wonder what I would say or you would say if someone asked us to describe God. Can you imagine and think about? You'd have to go into the fact that He's a spirit, of course. But have you ever thought the greatness and the grandeur and the majesty and the splendor, the holiness of God? And trying to put that into human form and human words and human understanding. And I don't know that any of us could adequately do that. I'm glad the Lord has made Himself available and appeared to mankind. Jesus said, "Have you been so long with me? Have you not seen the Father? You've seen me, you've seen the Father." The Spirit, the character, the love of Christ, was that the same as of God? Jesus had the power to speak words that would heal and make well, create. The power of the Godhead was invested in Him. We would have to some way describe God by Christ, perhaps. But yet, God is, you get to the point where, He's God. He's the Eternal One. And that's what I want us to think a little bit tonight about the everlasting God. God that has no beginning and a God who has no end. A God who owes His creation and His being, I should say, His being to absolutely no one or no thing. The gods of this world and gods that have been devised in the men's minds are just that, the creation of men's minds. But our God is the eternal God. In the beginning was God. Before this world and atmosphere and all that was created, God was there. It's hard to describe and hard to fathom that. And then to think that He still is. And He has no expiration date. No time that He's going to run out of grace, power, love, power, and authority. You know, they tell me by studying it, the sun's only going to last a few more million years. And you and me look at the sun, it's there every day. And it's hard for us to think that the sun won't shine one day. Well, maybe it won't have a chance to last a million years. Maybe it'll all be called into judgment before then. But if not, they say the sun will eventually run out. Now, I'll leave that up to you and what you believe. But everything we understand has timetables, time limits. At my house, we have a chest-type refrigerator. And if it makes it till next year, it'll be 40 years old. We bought it in 1968. But did you know that chest refrigerator, freezer, has a limit? It's just a matter of time. It is going to go out. I don't expect it to last forever. Relationships, marriages that are so beautiful, regrettably they have expiration dates, till death do us part. Things that we enjoy, things that we love, things that are good, they all have an expiration time that they will leave them or they'll leave us. I was reading this afternoon in Jeremiah, and something encouraged me. It's in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. In this world we live in and all of its instability, all of its various questions and all the different answers that the world tries to give us, the various scenarios that we encounter, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows that we all are incorporated in life. I'm glad to hear what Jeremiah wrote long ago, 31:3. The Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Where would we be tonight without the love of God? We know roughly where we'd be. We'd be lost. And that's probably the minimum. But the Lord has come down to the weakness of man, the frailty of the man, the insecurity of man, the questions of man, the carnality of man, our desperate needs and our fears and our uncertainties and how we cling to something and try to make it last. And He made this wonderful declaration. Number one, I have loved thee. For God so loved the world that He gave. God loved us when we were yet sinners, and He gave His Son to die for us. The first part of it said, I have loved thee. To recognize tonight that this one God, the true God, and the eternal God, loves and cares for you and me. He values us. He valued me and you before we ever even considered Him. He valued mankind and our destiny when man forsook Him in the garden. He has valued us and loved us and reached out to us when they crucified His Son. On down through history, we find God loves us. Because He loves us, that gives us hope. It gives us an authority over those very things that beset us. But He goes on and He says this love and the character of this love is really beyond mine and your total understanding. But what reassurance, He said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. A love with no end. A love that has no bounds. A love that is not restrained by time and all the different things that affect you and me. There's never a place where we have to say goodbye to God. There's never a place that we have to say, it's been nice, I wished it could have gone on forever, I must leave you or He must leave us. But I'm glad tonight that this love, this God, our Creator, His Son Jesus, said, absolutely, I have loved you. I've loved you before the foundation of the world. I loved you in the garden. I loved you when you were sinners. I love you now that you're my children. And yes, I will love you. My love is an everlasting experience that we can have. Not only when we first become saved. Not only when we face a few trials. But when we've gone, the songwriter said, the last mile of the way, guess what will still be there? The love of God. That has strengthened us. That has called us. That has corrected us. That has comforted us. That has shown us the way. The one that has been there when we had nowhere else to turn, but we looked upon His face and the strength and the answers to life came. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So as you and me travel through life, I'd like to encourage us tonight. You're loved. And it's not a fickle love. It's not a love without sacrifice. It's not a love that is self-centered. But it is a love that reaches out to us in our every season and every station. When we're in good position, when the rains and the summer suns have failed just right on us, when the crops of our life and the effects of our living seem to be just perfect and everything is going well. But in those times also when we become distraught and confused and don't understand and hurt Those times that we have found that life has really got disappointments in it. And there are bad things that happen to good people. He said, I've loved you. And I've loved you with an everlasting love. No expiration date. Isn't that wonderful? Love can grow cold in the hearts of people. People can do things and things can happen. People can move out of state and get out of sight. Communications can dry up. Love can be lost. Death separates love. The Lord is eternal. He's the eternal God. He said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He drew us when we were yet sinners. We know that. But I think about how the Lord draws us today. You know, sometimes we disappoint ourselves. Aren't you glad for that love of God that's there, that's drawing us? And He's drawing us not to come over here, I got a stick hid behind me. But His arms are outstretched, and He's drawing us with a loving kindness, with a mercy. Oh, there may be a chastisement. Surely there might be. There may be some corrections that we have to do. But it's always with our best interest. With His desire to secure us tighter to His bosom, to secure us more in His love, to fashion us more in His image for our good, for our usefulness in the kingdom, that we can be that light, that we should shine forth more for Him, to equip us not to be slaves that show scars and the reproach of anger on our backs and countenance, but fellow citizens, joint heirs with His Son, with the glow of Christ in our heart and in our face, in our testimony and in our life, a joy and a peace that goes beyond understanding, a joy and a peace that comes that because under us and for us are the everlasting arms of God, and that He has drawn us and taught us with loving kindness. He has nurtured us. He will nurture us. He takes the wayward. He takes the backslider. And again, there's correction and there's chastisements and there's places of repentance. But He's drawing us with cords and arms of everlasting love and loving kindness to restore us, not to make us a gazing stock at. You see what happens when someone backslides and, no, not that way at all. But to restore the fallen, He draws us with loving kindness. To put our name back in the book of life. To restore that which has been stolen by the enemy. And not to make us, as I said, a gazing stock or a laughing stock. But that you and I might shine forth to the glory of God. He finds us in our fears and our torments. Not to upbraid us. Not to say, well, you ought to trust me and belittle us. But He said, I know your frame. I know your frame and it's as but dust. And I tell you that as a father pitieth his children, I pity you. I care for you. Come and let me dandle you. Let me put you on my knees. Let me hold you. Let me soothe you. Let me pour in the oil of healing. I'm drawing you not to tell you how bad a fellow you've been. You already know that. You're already guilty. You're already ashamed. I'm drawing you to heal you. I'm drawing to hold you close that you can feel my warmth, my bosom, my heartbeat, my pulse. Aren't you glad tonight that God draws us with loving kindness? When we think about God, what could He do to us if He so chose? Remember we spoke, was it last week, about what if Christ had turned His power against us? Where would we be? What would have happened to us? What would happen had God chosen to draw us to kill us? He could have done that. as far as power goes. But I'm so glad tonight that He's loved us with an everlasting love. When we've met that great heartache of our life, it just seems like I don't understand. I just don't have any idea. I don't know where to go. So we go to a friend. And the friend loves us. And the friend tries to help. But yet, it doesn't answer the burning need of our sorrow or our grief or our disappointment. Aren't you glad that there's one in heaven who is drawing us today with loving kindness to tell us, I have an answer, and I love you, and feast your eyes on me, and look upon me, and don't be persuaded by what's going on around you, or maybe what's happened to you. So glad tonight that the Lord feels for us, is sensitive to us. He knows that our frame, as I said, is but dust. He knows that we are poor. He knows that we don't have the self-help remedy. And He said, I'm drawing you with love. Jesus said it this way, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Folks, that's God's loving kindness through Jesus Christ. That's God drawing us with the love of God, the love of the Savior, the mercy and the forgiveness and the help and the strength. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the one, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. He came to remove the thorn that sin had placed in our side. He came to give us something better, to draw us out of error into righteousness, to draw us out of our own calamity into His hope. He came down to where you and me were, and maybe are, and we are at times in places that we feel like we're in a hole. We feel like we're in a difficulty that we can't climb out of. And I think in our own self, we can't. With loving kindness, He gets down in the hole with us. He gets down in the bed of sorrow with us. He comes down to those places that we, maybe in the flesh, are justifiably angry. And He comes down in there, those places. And He doesn't vindicate us and say, well, you've got every right for that. No, He comes and offers us something even better than just being vindicated. Offers us something better than getting retaliation or showing up our enemy. He comes down into those places that we need so much help and we can't get. He comes right down into those places with healing. A balm, a hope, a joy, an answer, a direction, and it's always upward. Something better than an eye for an eye. Something better than what you or me might think we deserve. I thank the Lord tonight that the Lord has loved me and you with an everlasting love. Now, everlasting means I believe just that, without an end. We believe God is eternal. We believe God does not change, and He's just the same today, tomorrow, and forever. We believe that His Word is forever settled in heaven. The character of God, the nature, the Spirit of God has not changed over the millenniums of years. And that God that we can read about and understand in the Bible said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I'm drawing you with loving kindness. So when the Lord calls you, I hope you hear the voice of love. When the Lord calls us in our places of life, when the Lord wants to rearrange us, when the Lord wants to set us on a journey, when the Lord wants to slow us down, when the Lord wants to use us, I hope tonight we hear He's calling us and drawing us with loving kindness. Not setting us out on a journey to hurt us or harm us, but a journey that will fulfill us and a journey that will bring glory to His name. A journey that will be works that we won't be ashamed to follow us to the judgment. Works that in a life lived that when we face that time that we know we're leaving and our days are spent and the post has come and the weaver shuttle has weaved its last pass, we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. That we can have confidence because by all we understand, we've been drawn by His loving kindness. No anger in it, no desire to fool us or to trick us or to pull a practical joke on us. We can venture out, drawn by that love, and commit ourselves to that love. He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. He won't get us in a place of a battle and then say, well, I got you now. I'm going to go off and leave you. No, He'll be in the battle with us and He'll stay there. Don't be afraid to trust Him. Don't be afraid to launch out. Don't be afraid to turn around and go God's way. Don't be afraid to say no to yourself and your reasoning or my reasoning. Launch out because He's drawing you with loving kindness. Loving kindness that goes beyond anything that we might be able to describe or attempt to describe. Over in the Psalms, the 90th Psalm, I'd like to read a verse, 90 and 2. Chapter 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Now, that boggles probably most of our minds. Eternity. How do you describe it? Can you set limits on it? Can you put bounds on it? Can you go far enough back in your thinking to say, ah, that's where it began? Can you go far enough in your thinking ahead and say, well, this is where it ends? How do we describe eternity other than to say it's forever? There was, before man, before the earth, there was God. What happened back in those past, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. What God did, what He was doing, I don't know. But He was. He was eternal. When Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? Tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. Some translations and some definitions of those phrases means I am the self-existent one. I'm the one that owes my being to absolutely no one else. I am self-existent. That's deep when you think about it. That would be like you and me bringing ourselves into existence. And it even goes beyond that. And He said that He is the God from everlasting to everlasting. Now He's on your side. This one that owes His existence to no one. This one that was so powerful when Pharaoh challenged Him, Pharaoh was no match. And He told me that He's drawing us with loving kindness. Think about it. Again, back to that power. In His hands is the power to crush and annihilate. And yet He can hold you and me so gently and minister to our weakest hearts. The most fragile of our minds and the fragileness of our emotions to those times when we're right on the verge of going over totally and giving in to despair. He can hold us in His everlasting arms and His hand and not harm a thing about us, but minister healing. But those same hands could crush all that there is. Think about it. and to think that He's on my side. That ought to give us courage when we think about Paul's writings. And he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things, he said, through Christ that strengtheneth me. Tonight I would like for us each one to be tremendously encouraged, because we're being drawn by the everlasting and the eternal God. To try to describe Him is impossible. To try to put limits on Him is impossible. To try to say He's this powerful is impossible. To try to put God in a realm that you and I could maybe at least get Him in the binoculars to kind of grab, bring Him in, is impossible. Yet He's told us, I've loved you. I'm on your side. I understand you. I feel for you. I know you've been tricked. And I know the devil caught you. But I'm offering you, and I'm coming down to deliver you, because I love you. Thank the Lord tonight for that type of love and that type of mercy. When he said he was from everlasting, he said, I change not in another place. Another place he said his word is forever settled in heaven. We don't have to be then concerned, is God going to change the rules on us? That is uncertain. That would be something that there's nothing to build on. That which I thought was going to endure, that which I thought was going to last, I studied it, I worked at it, I followed it. Now he's telling me that's not what he wants anymore, but it's something else. And I've got to start all over, or I've got to get it all in a matter of a year or two. Aren't you glad God is not toying with us as a cat does with a mouse? But he's loved us. And with loving kindness, he's drawing us tonight. Trust me, believe in me, follow me, listen to me, obey me. Let me help you. Cast your cares on me, for I truly care for you. On and on, promise after promise, pleading after pleading by the eternal God. Let me help you. Let me support you. Let me strengthen you. Let me direct you. Let me. Thank the God of heaven. He said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Thank the Lord tonight for His wonderfulness. When Jesus Christ came to this world, He said, I come to build my church. He came to establish the body of Christ, if you will, or the assembly of God, the church of God, the called out of God. He came to establish that. And He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And the scriptures more than once, but I want to read one here in the 145th Psalm in the 13th verse, 145 and 13. And this would go along somewhat with Daniel 2 and 44 and, oh, just numerous places in the Bible. 145 of Psalms and 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. You know, we're safe to teach our children about the God that saved us and blessed us and renews us, because He is going to be that through all generations. He drew you and me with loving kindness, and He's going to draw our children and our grandchildren with loving kindness. As we've seen God operate in our life and lead us, it's safe to teach that to others. It's safe to tell our little ones what God will do. That how He's helped us, we don't have to be telling the children, fearing to tell the children something because maybe He won't do it. Maybe He's changed. No, He said He endures to every generation. In this kingdom, it's an everlasting kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Daniel said, and it'll be not be left to others. And He will govern it with righteousness and peace and love. So tonight, this God, this eternal God, is on our side. You know, I hear God talk to me various ways, of course. But I'm thinking this right now. God's speaking to every one of us. I don't know what He's saying to you. Oh, I can read the Word and know He said that to you. But see, the Lord is not only collectively calling us, but He calls us individually. And because He's a Spirit, He can call you in your place and me in my place. He can work with me according to what I need and what He sees I need, and with you. He's eternal. He's a Spirit. So I hear God calling us tonight. Again, He's saying, will you allow me? Will you trust me? Will you submit to me? Will you cut the cables that bind you to your emotions and your fears and your doubts, your humanity? Will you relinquish that to my control? Will you venture out and let me prove to you that I'm trustworthy? Will you allow me direction in your life? I believe if we're going to limit God, that's how we do it. We hold on. Read a little story one time about the Lord, and a man was wanting the Lord to lead him and guide him. And he's always being frustrated, the man wasn't working out right. And the Lord spoke to him one day, and he said, well, how could I lead you? You never let go of the reins. You know, that's kind of what we want to do sometimes. Want the blessings. And that's all right to want the blessings. We want God's favor and acceptance into His heaven, and that's okay. We want the peace of God that passes understanding. And we want Him to lead us in paths of righteousness. But we forgot something. We forgot something. We forgot to turn loose of the reins. And it's just not working out the way we thought. These promises in the Bible, and they're not working out right. These things that He's promised to help us overcome or help us to see our way through, and deliver us from evil and be the God of all comfort. I read it, but it's not working. I think sometimes we need to examine where our hands are and see if we don't look and find, well, look at here. Two strips of leather in my hand. About 3/4 inch wide and about 8 to 3/16 inches thick. And they're brown. And, wait a minute. I forgot. I still got the reins. Lord, help us to be able to trust in this everlasting God. The one that is drawing us with loving kindness. And turn loose of the reins of our life. Last scripture I want to look at here for a moment is in the 10th chapter of John, the 27th and the 28th verse. My sheep, 10 and 27 of John. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. To his sheep, he said, this quality of God, this character of God, this power of God that is everlasting, Jesus said, and I give unto my sheep eternal life. That very thing that He is, that very power and eternal Godhead that He is, it's indescribable in my mind, He said, I give it to you. That part of me that has been from everlasting to everlasting, I give it to you. I share it with you. If we hear His voice and if we follow Him and willing to turn loose and let the reins go and trust Him and obey Him. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. God wants to give us the eternal kingdom. And not in this life only, but an age without end. So think about it. This eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting, wants to give us of that same, what should we say, blessing, authority, right, power. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Lord, help us tonight to accept the offer. That sounds rather simple, but it must not be. Lord, it seems so simple that if you've got all power in heaven and earth and you're eternal and you want me to cast my burdens on you and that you care for me, but it must not be too simple for us humans. Because we struggle with it, don't we? We look around and lo and behold, there those two strips of leather are again. I thought I got rid of them. I thought I had. But this came along. And because of, and I'm not saying it makes us sinners, but because of my feelings, my emotions, my whatevers, I reached down and my father used to fish. Poor man fishing. 3-horsepower Johnson outboard on a wooden boat, and his trolling motor was a paddle about that long. And in my youth and exuberance, I wanted to paddle the boat. So he'd say, well, let's go over here and fish. Well, instead of having to crank the motor up, we'd paddle over there. Well, he'd be paddling the right way, and I'd just be paddling. And he'd look over at me and say, boy, you paddling against me. So he'd either tell me to put the paddle down, or he'd tell me to do it right, one or the other. We need sometimes to put the paddle down and recognize that underneath us are the everlasting arms. That he is drawing us with an everlasting love. And he doesn't want to only give us his support and help here in this life, but Jesus said, I give to my sheep eternal life. You know, that's something that it's going to take heaven and eternity to figure that one out. I've laid awake at night trying to figure it out. Trying to imagine what it's going to be like. And I don't get frustrated, but I sure don't get the answer totally. I know it's going to be wonderful and glorious, but I know this. We got to be there and experience it to be able then to describe it. So look, tonight this eternal God, everlasting to everlasting, he said, come, join in my kingdom. Let me share with you all the glories of it. Let me be your God, your helper, your healer, your salvation, your guide, even unto death, he said. Let me be everything for you. Turn over, give up, release yourself. You were created in my image and you were created to serve me and to trust me and be in communion with me. And Jesus came to provide a means and a vehicle that we could go back to God, that we could enjoy that which we lost. He's saying, all that, I've done this for you. Will you turn loose now? And then in the end, eternal life. God wants to give all that to us. And sometimes I wonder, have I accepted it all? I find myself sometimes, maybe you never do this, I find myself up against a wall. And it's a wall that I can't get over. And I find myself trying to climb it. I find myself trying to push it. Then I find myself sometimes saying, oh, it's hopeless. And when the Lord is there saying, trust me. Believe in me. Drawing us away from that wall, drawing us away from the labor, drawing us away from the striving, drawing us away from the fretting, drawing us away from our own doings, and saying, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me assist you. Well, you know, I got an idea that we can get around this over or through, or we can tear the wall down. Will you let me help you? And sometimes, and we turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help. Young boy one time went out boating with his daddy. And, he wasn't boating. In the carriage, in the horse, buggy, a couple of horses. They went to where they were going and they returned. And his dad said, well, you know, you're getting old enough now to take care of this, to lead the horse, to drive the horses. You want to try? Oh, yes, yes. A couple of old farm horses, probably. And he was pretty tickled about himself, rightly so, I guess. Well, you lack speed. So the horses wasn't going fast enough. So the horses, he was really feeling good. Yep, yep, yep. So the horses got up a little bit faster. He was really feeling good. Story goes that after a while, the horses got a whiff of home. And you know what happens when horses get a whiff of home? And they know the barn's up there with the oats in it. You ever ridden a horse, you know this. They can really pick up their canter. Well, these two horses whiffed home. And off they went. And the young boy wasn't doing any good. Said tears came down his eyes. And said he looked over at his daddy, and his daddy was just sitting there. The old buckboard, the buggy was hitting the hole, bouncing. He was, whoa, trying to control those runaway horses. Looked over at his daddy, and his daddy was just sitting there. There were tears in his eyes. He took those reins in his hands and he said, Daddy, I don't want to do this anymore. Lord, help us. Say, Father, I don't want to do this anymore. Here, you take control of my life. Because you're everlasting. And I want to be with you in eternity. Pray for me.